Okay, this morning, we're going to start off with one of our speakers from Amarillo, Texas, by the name of Sean V, and he's going to speak on our freedom. I'm a grateful recovering addict named Sean. I'm super grateful to be here with you guys. I want to thank the committee for thinking about me and inviting me to be here. Dwight, thank you. I believe it's my higher power's will for me to be here, and I believe that I wouldn't be here if there wasn't something that I was going to say that was going to help somebody. And so I'm grateful for that opportunity. My topic is Keys to Freedom. Well, first of all, I just want to say that that by the grace of God and the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I have a clean date of February 5th of 2010, and I'm very grateful for that day. That's the most precious thing in my life is my clean date, and I hold on to it with all I got. But my topic is Keys to Freedom, and Dwight told me that it was out of page 4 of the Living Clean book, and so I went ahead and read it a few days ago and highlighted some things that really stuck out to me, which I'm going to kind of touch on today. So I'm going to read them to you real quick, and then I'll get started. But let me get this pulled up too. I can find it. Yeah. Maybe. Anyway, I'll try to find it in a second. Can't find it. That's all right. Wasn't meant to be. Okay. So learning to survive our impulses without acting out is a new freedom. Over time, the desire to act against our values begins to fade. The word over time is key, right? This is a process for me. You know, this freedom that I've gained, that I've obtained in Narcotics Anonymous has been a process. It's taken all 16 years and multiple rounds of steps to get to where I'm at today. Our self-made prisons no longer serve us. To me, that makes me feel like that makes me think about the bondage of self, right? And I had this deal about the bondage of self that I'd like to read if I could find it. I'm sorry.
Take your time.
Thanks. I appreciate that. There it is. Okay. So freedom from the bondage of self is the process of overcoming selfish ego, fear, and self-centeredness to achieve mental peace and spiritual growth, right? And so how do we do that? And how do we overcome those things, selfish ego, fear, and self-centeredness? It says it involves surrendering control. So for me, that's steps 1 through 3, right? Practicing humility. For me, that's steps 4 through 11. And focusing on serving others, which is step 12. So for me, my solution for the bondage of self is in the steps, right? And we are free to explore and discover what we are good at. We are free to participate, create, care, and share, surprise ourselves, take risks, be vulnerable, and stand on our own 2 feet if we can find freedom from the bondage of self, right? And so that's my goal, right, in recovery, is to be able to do those things. And I've been able to find the opportunity to be able to do those things through working the steps of recovery, but it took a long time. For me, when I first got here, 17 years of active drug use, I thought my problem was the drugs, right? And I just thought if I could get in here and I could quit using, everything was going to be okay, you know? And little did I know that I had a lot more issues than just the drugs, you know? But I got here and I got clean, and I put myself into position to work some steps with a sponsor. And it says in our message that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Well, I stopped using on February 5th of 2010, right? And I started working the steps, and I got a sponsor, and I plowed through the steps in that first year of my recovery. And somewhere around the 9th month of being clean, I remember thinking to myself, man, I hadn't thought about using in a long, long time, right? And so somewhere in that 9 months, I lost the desire to use, right? And so that first round of steps really helped me with that. But for me, recovery is about finding a new way to live, right? That's really the process of recovery for me. That's my goal. Like, I can be clean and still be sick, you know? And so the freedom for me lies within finding freedom in all areas of my life. You know, the different being, because I can be in bondage to resentments. I can be in bondage to fear. I can be in bondage to loneliness. You know, all that stuff, man, that causes me to act out in certain areas of my life, right? And so it makes me think a lot about when I first got clean, I came in with a lot of trauma from past relationships, right? So I'm going to talk a little bit about relationships because that's a big deal for me. In my mind, the steps are about learning how to have healthy relationships, right? And when I got here, I knew nothing about having healthy relationships. And so from past trauma, from other relationships, and a little bit of anger and resentment I had towards my mother for divorcing my dad for reasons that I didn't understand at the time, I didn't trust women when I got here. And so I had a hard time with relationships. And I brought that into recovery with me, right? And so whenever I did my first round of steps and I was working through the flat book and it got to that part about sex and relationships and all that stuff, I just kind of skimmed over it because I wasn't really ready to look at it yet. Because to be honest with you, that kind of behavior was still serving me, man, in my mind, right? It was still serving me. It still had a purpose. And so I didn't want to really take a look at it then. And so I didn't look at it. And so now, whenever I'm working steps with a sponsor or with sponsees, I tell them, how free do you want to be, man? Like, this is how thorough that you've got to be in your step work, because take it from me, I had to learn the hard way, right? Because I went into my early recovery without dealing with all these things, and it hurt me in the long run. I wasn't able to, you know, I would get into these relationships with women, and in my mind, you know, I had come to the point where I was like, I'm not going to ever trust a woman again, right? Because I allowed myself to trust women and they've always disappointed me. And so I need women for a certain thing, but I'm not going to trust them. I'm not going to allow myself to open myself up to anybody or be vulnerable to any woman again, right? And I came into the recovery with that. And I hurt a lot of people for a long time, and I was clean, right? And I remember it kind of came to a head one time, and I had about 3.5 years clean, and I remember that the whole time that I'd been acting out on this behavior, it came to a head in the group, right? And the group was made aware. But the reality of it was they knew all along. I thought I was keeping something a secret, but they really knew. But it really just came out in the open, right? And I remember I had so much guilt and so much shame. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror and hating who was looking back at me in the mirror, right? And I remember thinking to myself, if I don't do something different, I'm either gonna use or I'm gonna kill myself, right? And that was a bad place to be, being clean, you know? And so I called my sponsor and I told him how I was feeling, and he said, let's get back on step one. And so we started working the steps over this area of my life, right? And I got fully transparent, man. For the first time in a round of steps, I got fully transparent. And it was the most freeing round of steps that I've ever done in my life, right? And it was over nothing but relationships. Relationships with the opposite sex, relationships with my mother, my kids, and everything, right? And that round of steps helped me navigate through my trauma, right? And helped me see things from a different perspective, right? That's the beautiful thing about guidance from a sponsor, right? It's because we can lie to ourselves a lot all day long, right? But our sponsor can help us navigate through our thoughts, right? In our thinking. And so he was able to help me, and he was able to see my part in some of my relationships, which has really helped me in my able to forgive. And he was also able to see, like in my mother's situation, he was able to see that sometimes we don't always see what's really going on, right? Parents allow kids to see what they want to see, you know? And you might not have known exactly what all was going on or what things were happening behind closed doors. And that helped me forgive my mother, right? And so I was able to move forward. And I was able to allow myself over time. And I'm just going to tell you that at 3.5 years, it took me 3.5 to 5 years clean to work the steps over this area of my life. And I'm not going to sit here and get up here and lie to you and tell you that my behavior changed just like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was still acting out a little bit. But the difference was, is I was willing to take a look at it. You know what I mean? Like, I was willing to start the process, right? And then about 5 years clean, something happened and I hurt somebody again, yet again. I hurt somebody yet again. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to behave like this anymore. I don't want to hurt people anymore, right? And I told myself, from here on out, I'm doing the right thing when it comes to relationships. And I surrendered that behavior on that day with 5 years clean. And then God brought somebody into my life. And I've been able to, and I told God, I said, look, I said, I'm going to do right by this one, right? And I'm going to do the right thing if you allow this person into my life. And so for the last 10 years, I've been in a faithful, committed relationship with my wife, and we've been married 6 years, going on 7 years. And I haven't found the need. I've been faithful, been committed. I haven't found the need to run. I'm a runner. I haven't ran. You know, we've gone through some things. You know what I'm saying? In our marriage, is. You know how people talk about the honeymoon stage, right? We've never had the honeymoon stage. It's been rough, you know. We're two broken people, man. We're both addicts. We're both recovering addicts. We both came in with trauma. You know, we're learning and we're growing together. You know what I'm saying? But the program is now helping us navigate through that stuff, right? And I really believe in my heart of hearts that one of these days we're going to be sitting on the front porch in rocking chairs and we're going to be going through our honeymoon stage. You know what I mean? Later on. But it just hadn't hit yet. But I'm grateful for that because that gives me hope. You know, and I think we're growing stronger because of that, and I'm grateful for all of it. But that's one freedom that the steps has given me. It's given me the freedom to be able to be in a healthy relationship, the freedom to be able to forgive my mother and be able to tolerate my mother without getting so angry at her where I have to say something that I regret or I have to walk out, you know, and make her and leave her in tears, right? Because that type of stuff was going on in my early recovery with my mom. It's allowed me to be a dad that's willing to let me fast forward. So another instance in my recovery with about 8 years clean, I was about 3 years into a new relationship, right, with my wife. It was still new to me, right? Because for me to be in a committed relationship, I'd been single for 13 years, so 3 years is still new, right? And we had two teenagers living at the house, right? And we had a 13-year-old little girl, which is my stepdaughter, and my son was about 15 or 16. I can't remember exactly, but I mean, they were wilding out, man. They were sneaking out, you know. They were using. I mean, I think they were using. I feel like they were using probably. And man, I was freaking out, right? And I wanted to control and manipulate everything, right? And everybody in my household. I was nailing down windows. You know, I was living in all this fear, right? And I was just wrapped up in it, you know. And I was mean and I was abrasive and I was controlling, you know. And I had 8 years clean. Nobody wanted to be around me. My kids didn't want to be around me. My wife didn't want to be around me. She was angry at me because the way I was treating people and treating her, right? Because my anger at the kids was portraying out on her. And anyway, I got to another place where I was looking at myself in the mirror and I was hating who was looking back at me once again with 8 years clean, you know, and it was because of my behaviors. And so I called my sponsor because that when I get to that place where I don't like what's looking back at me in the mirror, man, I want to change the way I feel, and it scares me, right? And so I called my sponsor, and I told him, and he put me back on the steps, man. And I tell you, man, that round of steps, and it took 3 rounds of steps for me to get to this place, but he told me some pretty profound things that seemed so obvious, but I never, ever heard it before. But he told me, he said, you know, Sean, he said, anger, control, manipulation, that's not your problem, right? Women, sex, those weren't your problems either. Drugs, that's not your problem either. Those are your solutions. You've got a deeper problem, and we got to figure out what it is, right? We got to figure out what is causing you to want to act out in these certain behaviors. What are you covering up? You know, what are you trying to keep in so that it doesn't come out? And so through working, navigating through the steps with my sponsor, what I figured out was, is that I was incredibly insecure. I was very fearful. I had a fear of abandonment. I had a fear of being alone. And all these things, right, are not very manly. You know what I'm saying? And so I went years, man, covering these feelings up. And these are feelings from childhood, right? I can remember my dad calling me a wimp, you know, and that was ingrained in me. Like I felt inferior. From that point on, I felt inferior, right? And my mother used to tell me that I was going to turn out just like my dad and this and that. So that made me feel insecure, right? Like somehow my dad wasn't worthy to be like, and so I wasn't going to be worthy of anything. And so I had all these little nuggets that people had been feeding into me since childhood, and it all came out in that third round of steps, right? And so I remember I was talking to my great grand sponsor one time, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, Sean, you're living in a lot of fear. And he goes, the opposite of fear is faith. And he said, I think maybe your relationship with your higher power isn't what you thought it was. He said, maybe it's time for you to rededicate your recovery to steps 2, 3, and 11. And so I, you know, that kind of hit me between the eyes, because I always thought, you know, I mean, I got 8, 9 years clean. I thought I had a pretty good relationship with my higher power, you know. And maybe I did have a relationship, but I don't think I had a trusting relationship, because the reality of it was that I didn't trust God with the things most important to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be trying to control and manipulate him all the time. You know what I'm saying? And try to control outcomes. And so that's what I did, man. From that point on, I rededicated my recovery to steps 2, 3, and 11, man. And I really tried to start focusing on that relationship, man, that conscious contact, right? And in doing that, I was able to get to a place in my recovery to where I still get the feelings, right? I still feel fearful, you know, or I still feel insecure. But the difference today is I allow myself to feel it. You know what I'm saying? I don't try to cover it up with anger or control or sex or whatever else, just not to feel that type of stuff, right? And so now what I'll do is I'll call my sponsor, or I'll tell my wife, or anybody that I confide in recovery. I'll call them and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling really insecure about this situation, you know, and I was wondering if I could talk to you about it, you know, and I'm able to talk to somebody about the way I really feel, and they're able to help me walk through that stuff, and instead of covering it up, I'm able to process it and walk through it today and get on the other side of it, right? And I'm super grateful for that, because had I not worked that round of steps, I would have never got to the place to where I was able to bring that stuff to light, right? I love the part in our literature that says, what grows in the dark dies in the light of exposure, right? That's true for me, man. And so I guess what I'm trying to say for me is the keys to freedom for me, man. We could go all day long and list keys. I'm wearing my Keys to Freedom shirt here, right? And here and now, the here and now group in Lubbock, Texas put this shirt together, right? And it's got some pretty good, it says simplicity, fifth step, desire, complete surrender, willingness, open-mindedness, honest self-assessment, and admission of powerlessness. Those are all pretty good keys, right? And I think we could go on for days of things that we've used as keys to find freedom in this program, right? But for me, I think probably the most important for me is sponsorship, transparency with a sponsor, right? Because we can have a sponsor, and if we're not getting transparent, it's not doing us any good. If that sponsor doesn't know what's going on with us, right, just like the first 3.5 years clean, my sponsor had no clue what was going on with me, right? Until I finally got desperate enough to say something, you know, when it got bad enough to where I thought about using, I said something. But today, I don't want to get to that place. Today, I want to say something before I get to that place, right? I don't want to look at myself in the mirror and have the thought of using before I decide to call my sponsor. So today, as soon as that feeling hits, I call my sponsor, man, and I get transparent. I get honest with him, man, and we talk about it, right? And that's important to me. So that's a big key for me. Another key for me is the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, man. The 12 steps, I found so much freedom in the 12 steps in a plethora of different areas of my life, right? I formally worked the 12 steps 3 times, but I apply the 12 steps to my daily life on a regular basis, man. Anytime something comes up that's difficult, man, I think to myself, how can I apply the steps to this situation? You know, and when I can do that, man, it helps me navigate through those difficult times, right? And I'm grateful for that today. I still have a son, right, that I don't agree with anything that he's doing. You know what I mean? Nothing. Like, I wish that I could control him and get him to do what I want him to do, right? But I can't, you know? And the 12 steps has taught me to allow him to be who he is and to allow him to bump his own head and to learn the way he's got to learn, just like I learned the way I had to learn, right? And I know in my heart of hearts that the same higher power, right, that watched over me and protected me through all my garbage for 17 years of active drug use and 3.5 years of wilding out early recovery, right? That same higher power that guided me through all that stuff and brought me out of it is the same higher power that's going to take care of him and bring him out of it someday whenever he gets to a place of point of desperation, right? A point of will, a place of being willing to be willing. You know, it says in one of our Just for Today's, are you willing to be willing, right? And I'm grateful for that desperation God gave me to make me willing to be willing. So, what else I got? So, the rest of that paragraph says, so whenever I was able to work through these steps, right, and I was able to navigate through these issues that I brought into recovery with me, right, that was keeping me in bondage, right, whenever I was able to navigate through that stuff and work some steps, I found myself in a place to where I could do the rest of this paragraph here, and I want to read it to you real quick. It says, we find our beliefs and begin to act on them. We make decisions based on our values. Today I've got values today, right? Today the things that used to be tolerable are no longer tolerable for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to behave in the ways that I used to behave today. And I don't have to, man. Because of the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous, I don't have to behave in those ways today. And I'm grateful for that. We walk through fear and wake up to the miracles that surround us, right? Am I going to be afraid still? Yeah, I'm human, man. Right? I'm going to be fearful. But today I can walk through that stuff. And today I can look up and I can look around me and I can see the miracles that are surround me today. Right? I can see the beauty of my wife and the relationship that I have with her today. I can see the beauty in my children. Right? I can see the good in my kid. Even though he's not doing all good, I can see good in him. Right? Still today. Even though that he's not living the life that I wished he'd live, I can still look for the good in him today instead of focus on the bad. Right? I'm grateful for that today. I can see the beauty of my grandchildren, you know what I'm saying? And enjoy just watching them play, right? Those are things that I couldn't do when I got here. But I'm free to do that stuff today because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. We are free to be who we are and live as we choose, man. I'm grateful for that. I used to be a chameleon when I got here, right? I didn't know who I was, right? Whoever had the dope is who I was. That's who I wanted to be, man. I didn't have a purpose, and today Narcotics Anonymous has given me a purpose, and it's allowed me to be who I am today. How much time I got? 5 minutes? Okay. Well, I'm just grateful to be here, guys, with you guys. I appreciate you guys listening to me. One thing I want to say is that I highlighted a place right here in this reading years back when I first read this book, and I want to read it to you a little bit today, and it makes me think of my wife. It says, gifts can come wrapped in such strange packages that we don't always recognize them when they arrive. Nothing that happens is entirely good or entirely bad. We do not pretend that there are no mistakes in recovery, but sometimes those mistakes can take us in a direction we hadn't thought of before. Right? So when I first met my wife, and I'm going to get vulnerable with you guys, she was the other woman. Right? And she was the one I hurt, the last one I hurt. And that humbled me because I knew she was a good girl, right? And I did her wrong. And it was because of the stuff that was going on inside of me, right? And whenever I was able to get honest about it and talk to me, my sponsor, about it, and I got to my amends process in step 8 and 9, I made an amends with her. And I told her, I said, look, I'm not trying to get back with you. I'm not trying to, you know, worm my way back into your life. I'm just working my program of recovery. and I'm trying to make an amends. And I made an amends with her, and over time we continued talking. And I remember telling my higher power, "Look, if you give me another chance with this girl, something that I had originally caused for destruction, I believe you can make it good, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it right." And God blessed me with her again, and since that point in time, I've been able to do everything I can to be a good person and a good man for her. And I'm grateful that God gave me another opportunity, and she was definitely a gift that was wrapped in a strange package that I didn't recognize when I had it the first time, but I recognize it today. And that's all I got. Thank you.
I'm Darren. I'm a drug addict. Our next speaker comes from Kansas City, Missouri, Ms. Rashawn A.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks.
Sorry.
Crush it, girl.
Thanks. Oh, goodness. I'm so nervous. I'm an addict, Rashawn. Hey, family. Oh, man, I'm grateful to be clean, too, and I'm grateful for the honor to be up here and to share with you guys and tell you guys a little bit about my story. And if I'm being vulnerable and completely honest, I was spinning the fuck out this morning, man. I woke up early. I was straightening my hair. I was doing my makeup. I was laying my outfit out, and, you know, sometimes there's two sides to the coin, where there's one side to the coin where if you look better, you feel better. And then there's also the flip side to that, where it's just like it becomes a mask. And I have to be really careful. So as soon as I was like looking in the mirror and I was looking at the time, it's pushing 8 o'clock, Dwight's texting me like, "Where you at, girl?" And I'm just like, "Oh, snap, I should probably be downstairs." And I was like, "Don't you dare put on those eyelashes." Don't you dare. And so, yeah, I was like rushing my husband then at that point. I'm like, "We need to get downstairs. Let's go, let's go, let's go." And he's a gem. He's always tolerating my shit because, you know, I could be a little crazy at times, not all the time. But anyway, I was asked to share on Keys to Freedom, too. And thank you for going first, because there are so many parallels in your story that resonate with mine. And all of the highlights that you read from the book are the same ones that hit with me. So thank you for that. I don't have to go through the book and read them. And, you know, I was also listening to the chapter, the audio version of Keys to Freedom over and over and over again this morning, because I was like, "Oh, snap, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that." And then I had to stop and I was like, "Man, you need to practice some faith." I really get caught up in fear and I'll spin out, and it's just like, well, what you're going to say is what you're going to say. And oftentimes what I do say when I'm connected to source is the truth. It's the message that needs to be said. And so I'm going to practice a little faith with that. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so Keys to Freedom. I had a full circle moment this week that I want to share with you guys. I haven't really talked about. And it's crazy because, you know, 20 years ago, one of the first times I tried to get clean, I was in a homeless shelter. And during the daytime, they kick you out because they expect you to go to work. Well, I would peruse the halls and the aisles of the library all day long, and I would be reading self-help books because I was trying to figure out how to get clean, which I didn't understand at the time. And so I would just look for books, and I would listen to audio tapes, and I would take notes, and yeah, long before Narcotics Anonymous. But there was one point where I came across this book that it's called Caritas Healing. I know this is not Narcotics Anonymous literature, but what that book spoke about are the spiritual principles that I was looking for to ingrain in my life. And some of the key principles in that process are loving kindness, faith, hope, trust, relationships, of course, holding space, creative self, learning, humanity, and being spiritual. And at the time, I didn't understand that those are spiritual principles, but I would sit and dream while being in the library, like, how can I have that? What do I need to do to become the person to be able to hold space for other people to be who they are, and for me to love myself enough to be grounded enough to be there in the present moment. And many moons later, you know, here we are. I'm in, sitting at work, and I was realizing I'm in a master's program now, but the prompt for this week was to compare a nursing theory that resonates with your nursing practice. And the theory that I found was the same theory that I read 20 years ago. These principles that I really truly wanted to have in my life today are already present and here in the moment. And I was just really beside myself. I found myself in tears. I was trying to hide in the back by the computer because, you know, I didn't want anybody to see, ask me why I was crying. And it was just a beautiful moment to go from being this person who used to peruse the halls of a library trying to find the solution and to be living in the solution today. What a gift. What a gift. Yeah. Like Sean, you know, I tend to gauge my recovery a lot around my relationships, and the relationship that stands out to me the most is not my lovely husband, unfortunately, but is my daughter. So much has happened and over the years, like as I've gotten clean, we've grown up and matured together in Narcotics Anonymous, and what I was thinking about was how, what you guys don't know about me. So, you know, I was born to a mother who didn't want me, of course. She was spinning in and out of active addiction, and she was in the other fellowship. And at the time when she found out she was pregnant with me, it was too late to abort me, so she ended up stuck with me. And what ensued after that was just a lot of ups and downs in our relationship, especially in her parenting with me. And she was one of those people who always had to be in relationship with a man, no matter how he treated her. And I got to watch her go through some really tough times. We went through them together. And there are many moments that are sort of ingrained in my mind where I can see how her mistakes eventually became my mistakes. And I am grateful that I have a solution in my life today. I have Narcotics Anonymous to help me to not repeat those same mistakes over again. And so as I got older, you know, and before she left and threw up her hands to go be with her husband at the time, she gave me the option to stay with her. And I'm so glad that I chose not to stay with her, and I became a ward of the state of Florida. And at the time, I was about 9 years old. And, you know, what's crazy is that when, fast forward a little bit later, when it comes to my own daughter, I ended up getting her back at 9 years old. So here I was with this great opportunity to live this life of purpose as a mother that I've truly always wanted to. And then here I am today at 9 years clean, right? And so the full circle moments keep happening over and over again as long as I pay close attention to what's happening in life and staying present. And so, you know, I'm 6 months clean at the time when I got her back. She was 9 years old, and boy, did we have to learn a lot. We had to learn a lot. I had to undo all of this trauma and all these pains that I was carrying through life with me. I had to learn to not be angry all the time and to take it out on the people around me. And I had the fellowship and the steps to really help me through this process, because I think that first year clean, I cried all the time. Boy, let me tell you, talk about feeling like a failure. I definitely felt like one over and over again. And during this time too, like, she was real young, and so she went with me where I went, because there was no child care. I didn't have the money to do those kinds of things, and if she couldn't come, then I wasn't going. And grateful for Narcotics Anonymous to allow me to have my family with me. If that's what I got to do, that's what I got to do. And so she would sit under the tables, and I would be in the, she would be sitting under the tables by the coffee pot on her iPad, and I would be in the other room crying about how I'm a horrible fucking mother. And, you know, it was during those moments and being able to beat up those tables with all these tough feelings and all these things I had to learn that allowed me to become who I am today. And so there are so many moments that stick out over the past 9 years with her and I. And one of the first moments that I remember is at the time I was in transitional housing, and I was on a barista salary, so I didn't have much money, but I was grateful to have a roof over our heads. And she was having trouble with turning in her homework. And, you know, I can be one of those parents that can either just let it go and let her continue on the patterns that she's on, or I can learn how to hold a healthy boundary. And so I was telling her, I was like, hey, you got to get this homework done. Like, this is not an option. This is your job. Like, as a kid in this house, you're going to go to school and you're going to do your homework and you're going to do what you got to do to be successful in life. And she, you know, she was caught up in some feelings because she had never had anybody hold boundaries with her and to tell her that this is what she needs to do. And sometimes we got to do tough things. And as I'm going back to go walk into the room, she's sitting on the bed and she's shut down and she's upset. And I pause for a moment. I remember standing and grounding and really taking a snapshot of what I was walking into. And I just remembered, I was like, did a quick prayer, help me ground, help me say what I need to say so that I can get the point across in a loving way so that she can learn the lesson that needs to be learned. And I sat down next to her, and I didn't say anything at first, but then after a couple of minutes, I was just like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you need to be doing, and I just want you to know that I love you. And I was just like, can you tell me what you're feeling and what's going on? And it took a couple of moments, and I put my arm around her, and then she looks over to me, and you know how you look at people and they have like that wall of tears in their eyes? I look over, and that's exactly what I was experiencing and looking at. And she was just like, Mom, I feel like you think my homework is more important to me. And that opened up this beautiful opportunity for me to remind her that I love her and to remind her that she is the most important thing in my life, and that she has value, and this is just something that she needs to do. This is a part of her responsibilities as being a kid, you know? And after that, we kind of, this bridge was created to where we had this trust and this ability to communicate with one another in a way that felt safe. And safety is a huge, huge spiritual principle for me in my own life today, and hers too. And there are other moments too where it was just her and I at the time, and I noticed that she was wearing the same outfit that she wore the day before. And I have these beliefs that you never wear the same outfit twice, because I used to get beat up in middle school, and so I didn't want that for her, so I'm about to go off on her, because I was just like, why are you wearing the same thing you wore yesterday? And of course, she was into Hot Topic at that time, so she's wearing this like men's black and white anime shirt with like this this bucket hat, and it was really distinguishable. And I was just like, hey kid, you can't be wearing the same thing twice at school, because people are going to talk shit about you. They're going to beat you up, or they're going to cause some trouble. And I, assuming that she was going to have the same life experiences I did, was imposing these ideas on her because of what I experienced, and that's not fair to her. And so I really had to stop in the moment and listen to what she was saying. And she said, well, I washed it. And I'm like, that's fair. Okay, well, I was like, well, you washed it, great. And of course I had to sniff her when she wasn't looking. And she was telling the truth, of course. But it was just like another one of those situations where I'm bringing all these past experiences and these traumas into my life today. And she deserves so much more than that. And so, you know, we continue our lives together, and I continue to work the steps, and life continues to get better. And, you know, I get a better job. Well, actually, no. I ended up getting a scholarship to go back to school, and that opened up a whole couple worms. I never thought that it would be possible for me to go to school. I've tried a bajillion times. Life never lined up for me, but to be in a place where I'm fully grounded and settled and clean, produces different results. And so here I was with this opportunity to go to a university that was really well known back in KC, is well known in KC, and has a beautiful nursing program, and it turns out it's one of the hardest in the city. I didn't know that at the time, but I embarked on this journey to go back to school, and here I was, you know, much older than my cohort. I didn't look like my cohort, and all of these insecurities started popping up in my mind. But I do remember that I hit the ground running. Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to keep one foot in front of the other. If you're doing the right things for the right reasons, everything will fall into place, and that has certainly been true for me. So I would be sitting at the dinner table, and she'd be next to me, and I would be studying on these courses for school, and she would be right next to me doing homework. And it was really cool for her to be able to watch me go through this journey, because as I went through this journey, she got to see what it's like. Like, mom is doing the same thing as you are. And I ended up graduating, and it was one of the most beautiful moments to be able to walk across the stage and have my daughter witness me get a college degree. I always thought that was the most beautiful moment in the world. And just in getting the college degree, just in working these steps and getting clean and staying clean, the trajectory of my life has changed, but it certainly has directly impacted hers. And if there is anything in life that I truly wanted, that is definitely my purpose in life, it is my purpose in life, it was to be a good mother. I used to have these foxhole prayers when I was in active addiction about, man, if I could just stop using, God, man, I just want my daughter back. If I have the opportunity to have her and be a good mother, I will do what it takes to be a good mother for her. I didn't understand at the time that it would be Narcotics Anonymous that would be the answer to that, and I had to really truly work a program and get the hell out of the way. And so here I am today, right, and I'm talking about this master's program or whatever, and I never thought that my life would look the way it looks today. As it has unfolded, I'm grateful for it, and at the same time, I'm in shock and awe. It's like this other person is there that's living this experience, and it's not truly me. I don't know how to describe it, but I am grateful that I am clean today. I'm probably not going to take up the full 30 minutes, but I am truly grateful to be clean today, and you know, I did look up the word freedom. So the dictionary says that freedom is the power, right, or state of acting, speaking, and living without external constraints, imprisonment, or undue restriction. It also goes on to say it encompasses personal autonomy, political liberty, and the absence of coercion. But here's the line that really gets me. It implies the ability to make choices and pursue one's own path. You know, I used to think that my path in life was to do dope and do whatever it had to take, whatever it took for me to keep using. I used to think that I was nothing more than a piece of arm candy. I used to believe that in order to get anything in life, I had to be somebody's bitch. Because the only way I was going to get better is with the person I was with. And today, that's not the case. Today, I see that all of those principles that I saw 20 years ago are something that I'm truly living today. And it is such a gift, and I'm just truly grateful for the life that I have and the life that I continue to live. And it's really exciting to see what could possibly come, even though the future scares me. I know that some of these baseline characteristics that were often hidden underneath the dope are coming to light, and that the drive that I have and the vision that I see for myself and for others comes out in my nursing practice. It comes out in the care that I give to others. It comes out in my parenting. It comes out as a wife. It comes out in all of these spaces that I never thought were possible. It truly permeates my being. And I am looking forward to what the future opportunities unfold for me. I'm gonna say this and be done, but I'm in a place right now where I apply for this scholarship again, and even though I'm in a better place than I was before, I believe that there are opportunities out there, and if you don't seize them, you're never going to know if you can grasp them. And it's a scholarship for addicts, and my sponsor wrote me a recommendation letter. And it was completely moving because the person she was describing in this was not how I see myself. I can be really hard on myself a lot of the time. And I'm going to read part of it for you. But she said this: over the past 5 years, I've had the honor of sponsoring Rashawn as she's worked diligently through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Recovery is at its core the courageous act of reclaiming one's life. And I have witnessed Rashawn do exactly that with unwavering determination. She has learned to replace judgment with curiosity, to focus on her strengths, and to act for and accept help when facing her limitations. These are not small shifts. They are the foundations of a new way of living, practiced daily with intention and humility. Rashawn's growth has been nothing short of inspiring. She has not only rebuilt her life, but expanded it with purpose and pride. She completed her nursing degree, passed her boards, and now serves successfully as a registered nurse. She is a devoted mother to a young adult, a supportive mother to her household, and a proud, active member of Narcotics Anonymous. This June, she will celebrate 10 years clean and serene, a milestone that reflects her deep commitment to recovery and to becoming the best version of herself. So here I am today. I am almost 10 years clean. almost. But there's a lot to be said that often isn't spoken about, and it's the things that people don't see. It's the shifts, the small shifts and changes in my character that not only affect me, but affect the ones that I love. And with that, I will pass.
Awesome, both of y'all. Amazing stories. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us on some Keys to Freedom. But with that, let's close in our usual manner. Let's circle up.
Morning, Mike.
Morning.